Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Preacher and the Miracle Man Show. And I'm your host for tonight, the Miracle Man. I'm here at McDonald's on 4925 Eastman Road, just north of Saginaw Road, here in Midland. I'm sitting right here in a booth inside the restaurant with a large glass of Coca-Cola, the world's best soft drink. I actually have a shirt that says best pop ever, Coca-Cola. Yes, I am sure that people say that about Dr. Pepper, even though Dr. Pepper is not the best pop ever. Same thing with Mountain Dew. Same thing with Pepsi, 7-Up. Root beers. Even though root beer really is good, and so is Dr. Pepper, so is Mountain Dew. But I think Coca-Cola is the best pop. And so we're here at McDonald's, and glad to have you with us. And I'm just believing that we can somehow be of ministry to you today, somehow. That somehow just hearing our voice, my voice will somehow minister to you today, wherever you are listening. You know, we do several different things on the show. We have some we have faith, which is where we like talk about faith and that, you know, the Word of God and miracles and all that kind of stuff. We also have some fun. Kawi had some fun yesterday with a caller who called in and was wanting to know about the McDonald's mobile ordering thing and how it works. Sometimes we may have a fun song, like a parody song or something, based on something I've been doing maybe, or somewhere I've been, or somewhere I want to go. We did one on biscuits and gravy once, me and Preacher Man did, but someday we're going to perfect that. And other cool events that are coming up, so we have some fun with that. We also talk quite a bit about sports as well, even though yesterday, because we had a lot of fluff I didn't say that right. I mean, it was just a busy show last night. I didn't mean to call any of it fluff. It was all fun and good, and much of it was important. And the clock just started running away from me. So we ran out of time. So here is the plan for this evening. And that is this. Here's what we're going to do tonight. For this evening, I want to teach and share The times that Jesus shed his blood, what times Jesus shed his blood? It's 6 if you include his hands, 7 if you include his feet. But the different times Jesus shed his blood. And what they represent for us as one brought us healing, one brought us salvation. One brought us, willpower so we wouldn't be tempted anymore. One brought us freedom, Different ones signified different things for us. So we're going to spend some time on that tonight. And we're going to read from about the 20th of John 18 into the 19, in all the way up through the end of John 19. And then depending on time, I might read Hebrews 11 as well as normal. In addition, I do have a special song to sing tonight. I'm going to sing after we're done teaching. I'm going to sing "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power," which is a powerful song that Andre Crouch sang, and it's amazing. And it's so true and so fitting. We're gonna do that. And then we're gonna talk some sports tonight. You may be thinking, hey, look, man, what do we got tonight? For sports. Some personal insight I had on Michigan and the wins they had this past weekend, as when I was talking about Michigan, was about when time was just about to run out. So going to do a bit more explanation tonight as to what I think helped get us there to where we are now. So some Michigan insight. I'm going to call it Michigan insight. As far as, or we could say this, Miracle Man, Michigan Insight. And so, this will be about why I think we were able to do. And I don't want to spoil anything, but I will say this. There is a chance that it could have had something to do with that 3-point shot that they got against Houston in the round of 32. But you'll have to stick around for that part of the program to hear my Michigan insight. Also, in sports, we have a Pistons update from last night. We have a former Lion who was traded to the Los Angeles Rams. And we have a Tigers reminder. All of that is coming your way. But first, before I get into any of the word, the song, the sports. Let me give a how-to on how to get connected. If you found the show, it's pretty obvious that you wouldn't need to know how to connect. But what we do is for those of you who have relatives, who have friends, you know, who have shown interest in wanting to hear the show, and they might have heard you say, you know, I've heard you listening. So you told me that you're listening to this awesome show called The Preacher and the Miracle Man. And how do I get in on it? Well, here's what you can tell these relatives, these friends, neighbors. Okay, here's what you do. You go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that is all one word, blogtalkradio.com. You'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. And then there'll be a link that says Living Large. And then you hit that link, and that gets you on. Obviously, there'll be a play button that you want to hit so you can live stream us. And there's also a follow button. And the follow button does something amazing. If you hit that follow button, you're going to get notified when we're getting ready to do a show. For example, tomorrow night we're going to do a show at 6:30. Here at McDonald's. Monday night, we're going to do a show. On Monday night, we're going to do another show. And then you'll get notified a little bit beforehand. It'll say, basically, Preacher and Miracle Man go live in 15 minutes or 30 minutes or something like that. But it's a cool thing. And we always say, you know, we always say this. It is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Always a smart idea. You know, your smartphone was meant to be smart, meant to do things for you. And I poked fun at Siri last night, but I'm not going to do it again tonight. But how about you use your smartphone for something that can save your soul? That is, that can help save your soul. And that is by listening to this program and following this program. And we care about you guys. We love you guys. We want to see you make heaven. We really do. And so, can you follow us? Well, as a person, I have a Twitter page at River Shukla, RYVERSSHUKLA. And if you have a Twitter, please follow me. Please follow me. Pretty soon, I'm going to set up a page for Preacher and Miracle Man. And this will be a place where you'll be able to like us. You'll be able to use it to contact us. You'll be able to, we'll be putting some things up there. I'll be putting up a word of the day, a show reminder, some things like that. And obviously, sports fans, those of you who know me, there will be some sports stuff as well. Possibly, maybe poking fun at a coach or something. Who knows? Who knows? You'll have to follow us to find out. But we're going to do that for you. And speaking of contact, we actually have a phone number where you can call us, call into the show and talk to us live. Just like the last two times we've done shows, we had great listeners call in. Fantastic listeners, people I love very much. And they called in and talked to me, and it was good stuff. And we have a telephone number where you can call us, and we can pray together if you want. If you need some prayer, feel free to call in. We'll pray. If you want someone to talk to, we can do that. You want to talk about sports? You want to talk about faith? You want to talk about the blood of Jesus or something you believe in God for? We can do that too. But we don't talk about politics, and I will explain briefly after I give this telephone number. And that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. And after you dial that number, please listen for the prompt. And then where you hear the prompt that says press 1, then you press 1. After that, after which you will be taken through a call screener. And then my assistant will let you on the show. And we'll let you on and you can talk to us. And we do have two rules. We have two rules that we want you to help us with. Rule number one. This show is not a political program. It's not a political program. There's other good shows that you can listen to that talk about politics and stuff. Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, fantastic people. Fantastic. But I'm not one of them. We're not one of those shows. We talk about faith. We talk about sports. We talk about fun, you know, food, McDonald's, other things of interest, current events sometimes, but not politics. As we don't believe it breeds life to people. We want to be uniters and not dividers. And here's what's going to happen if you want to talk politics. We're going to tell you to pray for your leaders, as the Bible tells us, to pray for those who have authority over us. And then we're also going to tell you to vote, as voting is very important here in America. Voting is important. And so we strongly believe that. Rule number two, this show is a family show. And that means basically don't say things on this program that you wouldn't want your kids to hear. For that matter, don't say things on this program that you wouldn't want God to hear. And we have a verse in Ephesians chapter 5 that tells us not to let corrupt communication come out of our lips. And it also says to stay away from crude joking. But that just to say, if you wouldn't say it to Jesus, by all means, please do not come say it on this program. And so, if you can help us with these rules, then we can have a great show together. A great show together. Fantastic. And so, with that, folks, I'm going to get into a word of prayer, and then we will start studying the Bible together for a while tonight. But before I pray, folks, I just want to tell you guys something while you guys are hopefully getting your Bibles ready. Folks, this show is more than just a man sitting here. This is not just the River Shukla Show. It's actually not called that. It's called the Preacher and the Miracle Man Show. It's not just River Shukla sitting in a McDonald's, drinking a Coke, reading some verses, exhorting, praying, singing a song possibly, and giving you some sports scores and some insight. That is what happens, but when we're reading the Bible and we're praying, you know, having this time of devotion and talking about faith, miracles, that you're engaged with us. So what that means is basically this. If we're praying, you pray. If I'm sitting here and my Bible's open and I'm reading the Bible, you read the Bible with us and study along with us. I'm exhorting, you pay attention. And if I'm singing, then you can feel free to either just pay attention and take in the sweetness. As when I sing into this show, on this song, on the show in general, it's under God. And so just take that in. Well, if you know the words, sing along. So that's what we do. Whatever I do here, you do there. And so with that, I am going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. Thank you for this great show, for these listeners who are listening to us. I pray that you'll just bless us and be with us. Help us tonight as we study your word, as we discover some more of what you went through, the shedding of your blood. Help us, Lord God, to not forget what when you shed your blood and all this other stuff you went through. Help us to not forget what this means for us, as this is some important stuff. And Lord God, I thank you right now for this show as a whole. I thank you that you're blessing this show. You're blessing me. You're blessing Preacher Man. I thank you that money comes into this show. I thank you that new equipment comes in. I thank you that sponsors come on board to help us. And I thank you, Lord God, for great increases in audience coming to the show so that we can reach more people, Lord God. And I give you glory and honor and praise for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, I'm in John chapter 18, and we're going to start with verse 25. So, mark that down in your Bible. John 18:25. And we're going to go through the end of John 19. Praise God. John 18:25 to the end of John 19. So, I've already found my verse. And soon as I have given you some time to find it, I will now begin. As Simon Peter stood warming himself, now he was at a fire, he was asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, he challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster crowed. Now, verse 28. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. Now, it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone." Jews objected. This happened so that the word Jesus had spoken into indicating the kind of death he was going to die would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, and he summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied, "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify by the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? They shouted back, No, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Now, stay with us now. Stay with us. We're going into John chapter 19. This is really important stuff right here, these two verses right here. These are two of the times that Jesus shed his blood. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. When he was flogged, he shed blood. It does not say, and when he was flogged, he shed blood. I just threw that in there, that was one of the places where he shed blood when he was flogged. The soldiers they twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. So the crown of thorns, his blood was shed when he crown of thorns on his head. When they put a crown of thorns on his head, excuse me. And they clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, Here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify! Crucify! But Pilate answered, You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jews insisted, We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus, but Jesus did not give him any answer. Do you refuse to talk to me? Pilate said, Don't you realize that I have power enough to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away. Take him away. Crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side of Jesus, with Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests and the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of Jews. But this man claimed to be known by the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. And when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his cross, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, and the other garment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened so that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots in my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood with his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clovis, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciples, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, King Rudolph was now completed, and turn on the page, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and they lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was that day of preparation because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. And the soldiers, therefore, came and they broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear. Now, this is the spear. This is the spear where he bled with the spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. And the man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. For Pilate's permission, he came and he took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds, taking Jesus' body. The two of them wrapped them with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance of the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in that garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid, because it was the Jewish day of preparation. And since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Okay. So, there, here's where Jesus shed his blood. He shed his blood at the whipping post in John 19, verse 1, where it says, then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged, scourged, whooped. The whipping gave us, that whipping means that he paid the price for our healing. Our healing, our health. In John 19, verse 2, Jesus shed his blood again. And in verse 2, I will show you again what it said in verse 2. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they clothed him with a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They put that purple robe on him. And then in the 34th verse of John 19, he was beaten with a spear, and the water came out. Then, in Luke, he sweat drops of blood. Also, he shed his blood after he was beaten so much. And it says in Isaiah, you know, he was bruised for our transgressions. I mean, he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity, our sin. And with those stripes, we are healed, set free. Also, he bled from his hands and his feet. His hands, that bleeding from his hands, that represents prosperity. We have prosperity through Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And the feet, we have dominion. So, what all do we have as a result of the shed blood? We have healing, we have prosperity, we have power over sin, power over temptation, we have prosperity, we have dominion, we have salvation. Great, important things. Without Jesus, it wouldn't be the same. Folks, we have a blood covenant with Jesus. We have a blood covenant with Jesus. Amen. A wonderful blood covenant with Jesus. Nothing can take it away from us. Nothing. It is so beautiful that we get to be saved. Now, I've read about I've either read or referred to the crucifixion several times. So, tomorrow night, I am going to read about the resurrection of Jesus. Praise God. The resurrection of Jesus. An awesome event that we celebrate on Sunday. And it's powerful. Amazing stuff. And folks, with that, I'm now going to sing you this amazing song. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Oh, blood that brings me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. And reach to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood brings me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, the blood brings me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. For the blood, it brings me strength from day to day. It will never lose, never lose. It will never lose. Amen. Praise God. That blood of Jesus will never lose its power. Never lose its power. Never. Thank God for your blood. Thank God for your blood that you shed. And every time you were beaten, you bought something for us. That agony you went to for us. Lord God, I thank you that this word will set in us and that we'll remember what this is all about. And I thank you, Lord God, that people will find you tonight. They'll call this program. They'll give their life to you, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let me see. How am I doing on time? Let me see. All right, so we have some sports to get to. I'm going to start with some NFL news. Dun 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 dun. In NFL news, former Lions defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh was traded to the Los Angeles Rams for a one-year deal, $14 million, much of that guaranteed. The Rams are going to be loaded this year, folks. The Rams are going to be loaded. They are. I think they could really be a good team this year. This next season. So, Ndamukong Suh traded to the Rams. Baseball. Dun, 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 dun. Or, let me think. How do you sound? Why we run our baseball team. Go get 'em, go get 'em, go get 'em, Tigers. The Tigers opening day is Thursday afternoon, opening game. Opening pitch at 1:10 p.m. You can listen to the game on AM 790 WSGW. Or on 100.9 WQBX. As the Tigers look to start the 2018 campaign. In a year where they don't have Verlander, as he was traded away during the season. They don't have J.D. Martinez. There's several different players they don't have. But they have some newbies. Some new pitchers, and that, so they're going to be young. So we'll see what they can do. And I'll be using some of tomorrow night for a few minutes to give a brief preview into what I see. Now, Piston news. Last night, the Pistons had a good 102-96 win over the Los Angeles Lakers at Little Caesars Arena. Reggie Bullock led all scores for the Pistons with over 20 points. Six Pistons were in double figures. And so that was good to see. The Pistons have now won four of their last five games. Now, they could possibly sneak their way into the eighth seed, but it's not very likely. So they'll probably have to sit a year without the playoffs. And quite honestly, I think they'll be without Stan Van Gundy after this regular season's done. Now, Final Four has been set. And with that, I got that music. Dun 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 dun. The heroes hail, hail, Michigan, the Wolverines. Hail to the valiant victors, hail to the conquered heroes, hail, hail, Michigan, the champions of the world. And hopefully the champions of basketball for college basketball this year, men's college basketball. But Michigan is in the Final Four to play 11-seeded, number 3-seed Michigan will play number 11-seed Chicago Loyola at about 6 o'clock Saturday night in San Antonio, Texas. The game after that will be number 1-seeded Villanova against number 1-seed Kansas. Oh, and by the way, it could have been Duke, but Duke was beaten in overtime. Duke really tried. Duke really made it interesting. I wouldn't have been surprised if Duke would have made the Final Four, to be honest with you. I wouldn't have been surprised. But I did say that I thought Kansas would make the Final Four. I also said that Michigan would lose in the Sweet 16 to Texas A&M. Instead, Michigan crushed Texas A&M for putting up almost 100 points. And I have some insight into what I think happened. And for that, I have to go back to last Saturday. Not 3 days ago, but the Saturday before. So, March 17th, St. Patrick's Night. On St. Patrick's Night, Michigan is down. They need a three-pointer in order to win. He sets. Luke looks right for the buzzer. Gets it in there. Yes, they got it in there. They got it in there. They got that three-point shot. They have the Michigan miracle. And I think that miracle play, the miracle shot, really put a spark in Michigan. A spark that said, we can do this. Let's continue. Let's show people who we really are. And let's be honest with you. In the regular season, Michigan was doing well, but I didn't think they were to the caliber of Michigan State. for much of the regular season. I didn't think they were the same caliber. State was of higher caliber, I felt like. But then in this postseason, you know, and even in the Big Ten tournament, Michigan was showing some really good poise. And keep in mind, yes, they did beat Michigan State, not once, not twice, but three times. Michigan beat Michigan State this year, three times. In head-to-head matchup. My insight is this. The miracle shot, believe it, put a fire in Michigan. A fire in those players. A fire on the sideline. A fire in the shooting coaches. And he put a fire in Coach Beilein that said, we can do this. We can do this, you know. Let's keep going. Let's go to San Antonio. They're going to San Antonio. And tomorrow night, I'm going to predict what's going to happen in their game against Loyola. Now, Loyola's not a slouch. They're not a slouch. Nope. They're not a slouch. So, they did beat the first two opponents. They had to get two thriller shots right at the end in order to win those two games, in order to beat the first opponent. And then in order to beat Tennessee, they had to do the same thing in order to beat Tennessee. And then they did that to Kansas State, too. So, they're here now, and they get to play us. Now, Villanova, Kansas. I think that's going to be a good game, but here's the thing. Michigan will play. Let me phrase this. If Michigan is successful in beating Chicago Loyola, then they will have to play the winner of Kansas versus Villanova. I think Kansas is a little more vulnerable than Villanova. I do. Here's something I think is awesome, though. Should Michigan win the championship? And I hope they can. I really want them to. Then there could possibly be a major parade there in downtown Ann Arbor next week. And I don't know what day it would be yet, but should they win, I'll be so excited. So, with that, I think it's going to be a good Final Four. I think Michigan just has to, you know, stay focused. They just need to learn from their mistakes, not dig the holes in their bags, you know, give up big runs to Chicago Loyola. And to jump ahead early, I think, could be a good thing for Michigan. Getting ahead early and then continuing to score often would be a good thing for Michigan to do. Like what they did with Texas A&M. That would be a good thing for Michigan. But can they do that? We'll see. And Nova versus Kansas. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. A little more analysis tomorrow night, and then my pick as far as who will win of the two final four games on Saturday evening. But I am hoping that on Monday we can have a Michigan Monday, which would ultimately mean that Michigan is in the national championship game. So I could call this segment, when I'm talking about the sports, you know, the tournament, I could call it Michigan Monday, which would sound pretty cool. But we'll see what happens. Michigan was in this spot 5 years ago. I feel like there's a poise here. I feel like they realize, you know, we were here 5 years ago. 5 years ago, we lost to Louisville. But then they just had to vacate their tournament wins. All those wins from 2013 and a couple years prior, that Louisville just had to vacate. But we don't get the trophy. No one gets that trophy because Louisville didn't play according to the rules. But I think Michigan wants to get it. I think they do. Should they do it? I'm ready to celebrate. With that, folks, it's been a great night tonight. Talking about the blood of Jesus, what the meaning of him shedding his blood is for us. And we had good sports. We had good discussion before that. So tomorrow night, what's going to come up is a talk about the resurrection, Tiger preview, and prediction for the first series, and as well as a Final Four preview and prediction. So I hope everyone has a good evening. And until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all tomorrow night.